From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through GEICO, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
One more time, we're gonna celebrate. Oh, yeah. One more time.
Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience is with us in studio to tell us about the making of Daft Punk. How
Indeed.
Are you?
Oh, well, I am extremely well. And this is one of those moments where we've gone down the road of maybe not choosing a specific album, but looking back retrospectively.
Yeah, one more time.
One more time, exactly. And it will no longer be any more times because they have disbanded. They do no longer exist. So it is a career that spanned about 28 years. And one of those bands that reshaped the whole electronic music scene. So
tell me about who are they, first of all?
They are two French chaps. They're both, I think they're now kind of just, one is just turned 50, the other one's 49. They met in school.
Yeah.
In the Paris area of a country known as France. And they developed an interest in music. And along with some other guys, they started a band. So just for the record, Thomas Bangalter and Guy Manuel de Homon Christo. And please don't make me say that again. but these two gentlemen, they started a kind of a punky, trashy band called Darlin. And without being unkind to them, they, by their own admission, weren't very good. But they did get a little bit of early traction. And they travelled to England and they briefly supported another band on tour, no one particularly famous. Mm. And Melody Maker magazine wrote a review of their performance. They only, as Darlin, performed twice.
Okay.
And Melody Maker described their performance as a bit of silly, dafty punk.
And that's where it came from.
There you go. So they disbanded the band known as Darlin and they formed a band, just the two of them,
yeah,
called Daft Punk. And they're, you know, this is interesting, I think, because sometimes in music, you know, you wonder about all the bands that could have been because they wanted to be a punk band, but actually they should have been a folk band or something like that, you know. These guys did find their calling and they wanted to make a statement. They were very, very interested in electronic music. And they started this band called Daft Punk, and their first album, Homework, which is the one that precedes this one, did put them on the map. But that is the genesis of the band.
Of the band. Yeah. One More Time, that has to be one of their biggest successes.
It is. Yeah, so I have chosen this album, but it does contain, or this is from Discovery, I should say, and that is their most successful album. We will feature some others from other bits, but that was, I think, maybe in terms of their biggest hits, their second or third biggest hit.
They weren't just a musical band, though. They were kind of a cultural phenomenon too, aren't they?
That's completely correct, because very early in their formation, they decide to adopt what will become their trademark, which are these unusual helmets that they wore.
The robotics.
Now, did they find these in a thrift store? They did not. They travelled to Los Angeles and they met up with people in a place called Alterian Studios, which is kind of like a special effects for movies type costume design. And they sat down with them for days that went into weeks designing what they wanted to be deeply personal representations of their digital selves. So the helmets are very much, and just for the record, they cost about 65,000 euros each.
Back then.
Yeah. And so that's a significant amount of money. But they wanted the helmets not just to be like a, you know, something that went over their face, but they would have lights and displays and things on them. And they don't give interviews. I mean, there's a handful, less than a handful of actual interviews that they give. They very much adopt this persona. So anytime you see them out in public, they're wearing their helmets and they decide never really to have their I won't say real identity is revealed, but they don't exist as Daft Punk through the Guy and Thomas. Mm. They decide to be Daft Punk, the robots.
Let's take a listen to some of the other Daft Punk songs you've picked.
Go, Lose Yourself to Dance, featuring, of course, another man we'll come to, Mr. Pharrell Williams. You know, just what we've been talking about in terms of high concept and an artistic endeavor. At the core of it, it is about the dancing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the good tunes. And I mean, you can be as clever as you like, but what you need to do is get people on the dance floor. And I chose this one because it's a little bit lighter, it's a little bit less electronic than some of their other tracks, but it was a track that they did with Pharrell Williams, and we will be coming to another track that they did with him as well. But it's a real gentle kind of late in the evening dancey track, I think.
They've had decades really of success, haven't they?
28 years, effectively. 1993, but that took us up until 2021. When they finally decided to call it a day.
Why did they decide that?
This is an interesting one because, okay, so they have achieved huge success, but they've also, as I said, they have a very clear vision of what they want to do.
Mm.
And both of the guys, through their electronic explorations, felt as if music, and more specifically the technology around music, was getting a bit scary. So they really disbanded because of a fear or a resistance against the development of AI in music. Because what they were very synonymous with was this persona as electronic characters, robots, if you will. And they actually felt that in the age of AI, that they could be mistaken as being part of that revolution. Mm-hmm. And they literally wanted to distance themselves from that.
They were so ahead of their time to a certain extent, weren't they?
Exactly. And they said, look, this is scary what's happening in music and how the creative process is being now removed on us. And they said, we don't want to be part of that. We've done what we needed to do in music, and we feel like our mission has been realized.
This is one of my favorite Daft Punk songs. Faster, makes us stronger than ever. Hour after hour, work is
never over. Working harder, making better. Moving faster, harder, better, faster, stronger.
It seems like such a simple concept for a song, but musically, how talented are they?
Okay, so, well, first of all, the title and the track itself is a play on the old Olympic motto, you know, the higher, faster, stronger. But we need to talk about something called, I hope I say this right, vocoder. Vocoder? Yes, vocoder. I think that's how you say it. But it's two words, voice encoder, and it's summarized in vocoder. So, you know, when you hear that electronic, when I was growing up, would have called robot talking. So when you hear the voice of it saying those words, it's a human voice. It's put through a machine to give it an electronic sound. And dare I say, if you were looking for something to signify the Daft Punk sound, when you hear that, it's almost unmistakable, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like they invented it. It's a machine that's been used in sci-fi and in music for decades. But there's something very unique about how they harness that, particularly when you then take into consideration the actual visual of the band and them as robots. So it's that sense. You really do kind of buy into it then, don't you? So yeah, their sound is so distinctive. Mm. And the use of a vocoder, I don't know if you've ever used a vocoder.
No.
Myself, personally not. I used to try and do the voice myself without the use of a vocoder.
Yeah.
But I'll spare our listeners that. What I will say is it's just a great track. It's not heavy. That's the one thing about Daft Punk. They're not that in your face dance crazy lift the roof, and yet there's a build here. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky. There it is, Get Lucky. And Andrea, I don't know if anyone will thank me for this, but I cannot hear this without seeing Linda Martin on the Late Late Show. No amount of eye bleach or attempts to forget ever erased that.
I forgot
memory.
That, actually.
And you are welcome.
Yeah.
It's a massive. massive hit.
So with Pharrell Williams, did they do many collaborations?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the nature of this type of music is that it usually requires a vocalist to come in.
Kind of lends itself big time.
I also want to mention, because this song just doesn't feature the fabulous talents of Pharrell Williams, but it also features the fabulous Nile Rodgers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Who I'm a huge fan of, and I have seen in St. Anne's.
Yeah, so did I about 2 years ago.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing artist whose hits we should definitely do. Nile Rodgers, because stand alone, he's maybe
and Chic.
Yeah, and well, who could forget? But what I will say is this is huge. Now, it's their biggest hit, and it never gets to number one in the United States. It stays at number two for weeks and weeks and weeks because of a song called Blurred Line.
Oh yeah, of course.
Controversial,
yeah.
Robin Thicke. I just got to say, I never really understand how Pharrell Williams managed to escape all the controversy of that
around
song.
That song.
What I will say is Pharrell Williams was having a very good couple of weeks, because he was at number two and number one in the United States charts. It's an anthem. You cannot help but think of summer and you know, relaxed evenings. Few drinks with your friends and all that without hearing this song.
So since Daft Punk disbanded, is there anything, or has anyone else come along since them like them?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think they were such a unique voice, and they had such a unique vision. I mean, electronic music will always be with us, but perhaps we should listen to their warnings about what is happening now in music and electronic music, in terms of how much creative control the actual artists are having now and how much AI is coming into it.
The final song, Around the World.
I love this, but I also can't hear the song without looking at the video. The video is amazing, and it was the first time I think I saw them in their helmets. Yeah.
Have you ever seen them actually live?
No, I've never have.
I don't think I have either. I don't think they ever played Electric Picnic.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
I
could be wrong. It's a little crappy.
But it is one that got away, I have to say. I would have loved to have seen this show live, because like with so many artists that we have covered, there's definitely great music and very interesting things happening musically. Mm. But visually as well, it is one of those shows that I wish I could have seen.
Yeah, I have a feeling I might have, I don't know why I have a feeling I saw them in Marley Park at some point, but they definitely played Oxygen.
The Mists of Time.
I never went to Oxygen.
Oh, I did. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how I missed that, because it would have been right up my street.
Rage Against the Machine headlined Oxygen, I think 2008, and it was like a pilgrimage for me to go and see them.
Well, we are going to leave listeners with Around the World from Daft Punk. Alan Buckley from the Irish Rock and Roll Museum Experience. Thanks a million, as always, for joining us here for the making of and Lunchtime Live.
Linda Martin.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.